Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun.
Listening to the Looking Up program. It's Wednesday, the 29th of July, and my name is Charissa. This is a live broadcast coming to you from the Lake Macquarie area. My name is Charissa. I'm joined by my co-host, Danny. How are you?
Very well, my friend, and praising the Lord, looking up and enjoying the sunshine.
Yeah, you sound like you're raring to go.
Raring to go, getting ready for summer because the weather has been very, very balmy and, well, yeah, getting ready for Fiji in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, you're lucky. You get to go to the island soon. It has been nice to have a little bit of warmer weather lately.
It has.
We look forward to those warmer months coming very soon. We are excited that our listeners are joining us today from wherever you're joining from, and because it's a live show, we'd love to hear from you too. Feel free to text in where you're listening from today via our studio number here. 0488 17624 is the number to reach us on, and yeah, let us know where you're coming from. Today we have a really exciting program. We always do. I know we're going to be talking about current events because we always do, but they're not just for the sake of talking about it. We're talking about it with an eye to Bible prophecy, and we're asking, what do these things mean? What can we take from this? And yeah, that's an exciting discussion to have. In addition to that, what else are we going to be doing?
Well, we're going to continue on with our great controversy study that we have been in for some time now, I guess since the beginning of this year when we started this journey. And so we're at chapter 15, the Bible and the French Revolution. And so we started last week, but there's so much to cover in that chapter and so much that relates to our day that, we obviously didn't get through it last week. So today we'll continue that journey and hopefully we'll get through that chapter and then be ready for the next chapter.
Very good. Well, we always like to do some shout outs at this time in the program too.
Of course we do.
And you've been away. How was your trip?
Oh, I was in WA.
Tell us, what was it like in the Wild West?
The Wild? No, it's not very wild at all.
Wild. <That's>
But it's good. Beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. But it is way out west. I felt like I was going to a different country. Literally, like from when I left my driveway in Currumbong, early in the morning, heading to Newcastle Airport, you know, dropping the car off there at the, you know, in the airport and jumping on a plane, took me to Melbourne. And then from Melbourne, I took another flight to Perth. Then I jumped in a car and then I traveled down to Harvey, which is about 2 hours south of Perth. And when I ended up in the driveway of my hosts, it took about 12 hours.
Wow.
12 hours, and the same on the way back.
You could get to Hawaii on that.
I'm telling you. It's like, but it was well worth it. I loved it. It was my second time going to Perth, and I'd only been on there one other previous occasion. And so a big shout out to all my mates there in the Harvey Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I had just a wonderful time with them. Four presentations, a world on the brink, all in one day. Can you believe it?
And you still had more things to say?
Oh, there was so much more to say, but I had to leave. So it was great. They were just so hospitable, so wonderful, so lovely. Like I've never preached that whole series in one day. But they said we're up for it. A really solid Bible believing church. They, in fact, Charissa.
Yes.
they posted the great controversy to every single person in their town.
Wow.
1,500.
Wow.
1,500 homes, I think. That's about right, 1,500 homes.
Have they had any responses?
Yeah, I think there was a lady that came to the actual seminar who had read The Great Controversy.
Wow.
And she came along. So, great. Yeah, that was really exciting. We had a whole bunch of new people. A lot of people came from the advertising and others that were invited by friends. So big shout out to all my friends there at the Harvey Seventh Adventist Church. Graham and Diane, they hosted me. Just a wonderful couple, you know, just fully loving the Lord, loving
What's
mission.
Their last name?
Weir.
I thought it might be.
Oh, yeah, they're Waitara people.
A long time ago. They're the only Graham and Diane.
Yes, 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 yes. They mentioned you and they mentioned Waitara. So anyway, big shout out to you guys. And as I continue with my shout outs, Davo. So I missed out on Davo, our mate Davo. We couldn't bump into each other. But anyway, such is life. I met some folk living in Perth on the way from Melbourne to Perth. So big shout out to Jovanka. She's from my part of the world. Like, I could pick up from her accent that she's from my part of the world. So I'm like, good. Are you from Eastern Europe by any chance? She goes, yes. I'm like, are you from the former Yugoslavia? She goes, yes. How do you know? I've heard that accent all my life. So anyway, big shout out to Jovanka. She was with her daughter Annabella. So big shout out to you guys, Petar, her husband, Andre, the other child, and Ariana. So, yeah, big shout out to you guys. Another guy on the way back, I had two wonderful conversations. So one with Jovanka, the other one with a guy called Samir. And he's doing his master's at the University of WA. He's an Indian and from Chennai. So we talked about my trip to India. And so anyway, it was great to catch up with him. And finally, Rodney. Our mate Rodney Mella.
Oh, so, Rodney.
Yeah, bumped into. He came to the airport when I was leaving, so we caught up for just over an hour or so. So Rodney, he needs to have his own radio program, Sharissa. He is on the money.
Well, that's so exciting. You did a lot there. You gave a report and all your shout-outs. We're so glad that you had a good time. Let's listen to a great song by Fountain View Academy, Lift Up the Trumpet, and then we will continue with more right after this.
Jesus is coming again,
coming in glory, the Lamb that was slain.
Jesus is coming again, coming again, and coming again. Jesus is coming
of earth, tell the vast wandering throng,
Jesus is coming again.
Tempests and whirlwinds, the anthem prolong,
Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming again. Nations are angry by this, we do know. Jesus is coming.
We could end the show right now, couldn't we?
Let's stop right there. Lift up the trumpet loudly.
Oh, have mercy. Wow. I haven't heard that rendition of Jesus Coming Again. Have you?
I have. The Fountain View Academy team, the orchestra and choir are really something special.
Wow. And that would have been filmed like at a certain location.
Somewhere in the foothills of British Columbia, probably.
Wow.
But my sister's over there right now.
Is she?
She's over at the British Columbian camp meeting.
Okay.
And actually our colleague, Boris Yovanov, he's over there too. He's speaking for one of the tents over there.
Wow, wonderful.
But such a beautiful place. But those singers, those young people, they believe it.
They believe. And folk, if you want to hear more, go to YouTube.
Yeah.
And just type into YouTube Fountain View Academy.
That's right.
And you will enjoy a host of these beautiful songs, and all filmed on location, choir, orchestra, no AI anywhere to be seen, just pure voices and instruments and God's talent amongst these young people.
Amen.
Jesus Coming Again. Wow, what a way to begin. That's our theme song, surely.
It should be the theme song.
For the Looking Up show. The show that
Look
helps
up because Jesus is coming again.
Soon, I know. And I was just reflecting on those beautiful words from that hymn and the final words of Jesus in Revelation.
Mm.
You know, in chapter 22, I shared these in Harvey in my final presentation, where Jesus says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly." And then again in verse 12 of chapter 22 of Revelation, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." And then a third and final time, just in case we didn't quite understand how serious Jesus is about coming back, the last words in red in my Bible and your Bible, Sharissa, are the words of Jesus, "Surely I am coming quickly."
Amen.
And that's exactly what John says. He says, "Amen," as you did. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus."
Jesus.
Yeah. Wow. And that's really the only hope that we have, Sharissa.
Amen.
Because this world is getting worse and worse. It's getting to the end of its use-by date. And that's what the Bible literally says, doesn't it? It says this world is like an old garment.
It's passing away. And that's good news.
That is good news, because a new world is on the horizon.
There's a better world, a better, brighter future to come
with
Jesus and thanks to Jesus.
Amen, amen.
Well, we should tell everyone about our giveaway.
Oh, yes. It's a great giveaway this week, folk.
All right. The giveaway this week is a book entitled... I can't read the first word. Can you read?
Amazing. No, answers.
Answers to difficult Bible texts. Here's the book.
Answers to difficult Bible texts. You can add the word amazing. Amazing answers to difficult Bible texts.
All right,
that's Donnie's version. Joe Cruz, he's the one that founded Amazing Facts Ministry.
That's right.
And Pastor Doug Batchelor took it over.
Mm-hmm.
He was the original, and it was on radio. So he was sharing the good news of salvation on radio.
just like us.
Just like we are.
Amazing. Well, this is a really good book that people would want to have their hands on, especially if you're a new Bible student or you know somebody who may be struggling to connect with the Bible.
Or if you are someone who is studying the Bible with someone.
Yes.
Because you're asked questions, and sometimes those questions are pretty curly or you may not have the answer. And so this little book will give you the answers that you can share with your friend that you are sharing scripture with.
We're talking about questions on baptism by immersion, the Sabbath, the state of the dead, what happens when you die, that is, hellfire, is it eternal, the rapture.
Oh, that's a biggie. That is a biggie.
The millennium, law and grace, and there's so much more in that little book. So, yeah, definitely one you want in your libraries. Shell set this up for us. She hasn't said there's a limit, which means everyone who texts today should be able to get a copy.
Wow. That's a great book. I have that in my library and I've utilized that. Yeah. That is a great book. Yes, we have Google, we've got ChatGPT these days, but it can be right or it can be wrong.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Just depends on those algorithms and how it's been set up by who.
Yes.
So this book will give you Bible answers.
Amen.
And so, yeah, you'll really, really be blessed.
So we'll give away the code word
in the next program. I think we do it in the next program.
Yeah.
Next segment.
He's not talking next week. So we'll give you the number, though. Keep this number. And we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
0488 17624 is the number to communicate with us here on. But we've had one listener text us so far.
Oh, yes. Who is it?
Lydia.
Oh, my sister.
Hi, team. Listening from sunny Queensland this afternoon.
So she just got back. She just got back from Vietnam, like literally like a week or so ago. Yeah, Vietnam.
Work trip? Mission trip?
Mission trip, work trip, no, a holiday trip.
Okay.
I'm sure she was doing some mission activity there.
Nice, nice.
So, yeah, they went on, I think, a three-week mission trip with three-week holiday throughout Vietnam. They said it was fantastic.
Wow.
Like, I'd like to go to Vietnam. I've heard a lot about
You're going to too many places.
I know, I've got itchy feet.
Yeah.
I'd love to go. So, anyway, yeah, so she's back, and, you know, she's having a birthday next month.
It's a big one.
It's a biggie. I'm going to be away in Fiji when it happens. So,
he's going to make up for it. Don't worry,
it's
Lydia.
It's August 23 and it's the big 50.
Oh,
so
no secrets on radio.
I'm just getting it in there a bit early. Just in case I miss it. You know what it's like? Remember I missed out on one of the birthdays? I think it was one of my nieces, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah.
It's so terrible.
Terrible. So now I'm going like a month before. Anyway, so it's my dad's birthday as well next month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. So, he's going to be 8-0.
Wow.
On the 6th of August.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm really excited.
What a blessing. Every year, every day is a gift from God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So before we get to the news items, just a quick plug. There are other programs, Faith FM events. Go to the Faith FM website, go to the events page, and you can find out the upcoming programs that may be in your area. So there's one from our mate Peter Watts in Orbost. They're in Victoria on August 5, seconds to midnight. And so that is something, a program you will enjoy if you're anywhere near that. Then we got our mate Scaffy, the breakfast show man. And so he's going to be doing a program in your old church, Waitara, August 9, yes?
Yes.
AI, the AI apocalypse. And he's doing the same program, AI apocalypse, on August 15 in Caboolture, Queensland. So that's where my sister lives. She just lives down the road from Caboolture. So
nice.
She can go and check it out and tell me how Scaffy went. August 15. So there
Very
you go.
Very good. Well, those are two really good things for people to be looking out for.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So let's get stuck into the coming of Jesus is drawing near. Lift up the trumpet. Let's get that alarm happening. Talking about the heavenly alarm, that trumpet that will sound, we had an alarm this week.
We did.
Tell us all about it. Were you caught off guard?
Yep. Well, they told us all. And
I know, but I had forgotten about it.
I forgot about it too. And then at 2 o'clock, my alarm went off and I was like, oh, it works.
I'm telling you, there were some people that didn't get the text message.
My mom was one of them.
She was one of them.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh, good. The Australian government doesn't know where we are.
It's weird, isn't it? It's pretty amazing technology that they can send that out.
It is. But it didn't even sound like a text message.
No.
It just, I was driving at the time and I heard this siren, like, you know, it was like a siren sound.
You
do you remember?
The police were coming for you?
I'm thinking they finally caught up with me. I thought that they finally caught up with me, but I couldn't see any police car behind me. There was no fire truck, no ambulance. I'm like, okay, this is a drone. This is a police drone above me. It's a different noise.
That's a really exciting drive.
I'm like, I'm not going to Fiji. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going on a one-way ticket to the watch house.
And then you realized it was your phone.
Then I realized it was my phone. So, it's quite amazing how the Australian government has the incredible technology to be able to do this. It's phenomenal. Technology.
You know, when I was in the States just a couple of weeks ago, my phone went off while I was there to alert me that there'd been an earthquake in San Francisco or somewhere. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they already do this kind of thing over there. But this is the first time that I've ever had, well, I think Australia's ever had this happen here.
Mm.
So Justin says, yeah, he's used to it here from America.
In Japan, they do. When my sister, not Lydia, my other sister, Rachel, when she was in Japan, we're going to talk about an earthquake. Mm-hmm. Another earthquake mm-hmm. happened this week, like literally today, I think, in Japan. And so when she was there, there was a little tremor or an earthquake. And even though, you know, she doesn't live there, she was just visiting, but she got a text message on her phone from the Japanese government, you know, alerting her of an earthquake and to take appropriate action.
Wow.
It's incredible. I'm telling you, it's incredible. And I don't know how many times I've been on the aeroplane. The stewardess or the announcement comes, you know, put your phone on flight mode, right?
Yeah.
And I'm a bit slow. I'm, you know, checking something on the phone, texting or whatever I'm doing. You know what I mean? Not paying attention as I should be. And all of a sudden I get a message on my phone, put your phone on flight mode. And it's like, oops, sorry. Can you believe it?
Wow.
Like AI hears the announcement, and literally it was like seconds later or like almost instantaneously, I get the message on my phone, put your phone on flight mode.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of world are we living in?
An amazing world.
A crazy AI world where everything is known.
Yeah.
And praise the Lord. Hey, talking about text messages, God has given us the ultimate text message to prepare us.
He wants it to go to the whole world.
Exactly. And what's that text message called?
Three angels message.
Amen. Found in the Bible.
The Bible, yeah.
And you know what Bible stands for, don't you?
Basic instruction before leaving you.
Amen. Before vertical lift up. Hey, I got a message from our mate Diane. So Diane is listening. So she says, "Hi, Pastor Danny. We are listening from Wakaloop, south of Harvey. Have you heard of Wakaloop?
Nope.
I'm not sure if I pronounced that right. In our car. So, thank you so much for that message, guys. And, they're just an amazing couple. They live like on a half acre.
Really?
They've got fruit trees. They've got an orchard. They've got all sorts of stuff there. Just, yeah, retired couple. And
if they were closer, we could have them on the show.
Oh, absolutely. And Graham is a full-on evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
You know the Search for Certainty Bible Studies?
The PowerPoints?
Yeah, the PowerPoints. So you know all about it?
I do.
You know all about it? Well,
I use them.
You use them? But there you go, Graham. We've got a happy user there. Anyway, so he's going to be continuing with a follow-up.
Good on him.
The Search for Certainty. So nice every Saturday morning, 9:30. So anyway, that's fantastic. So well done, guys.
Well,
we're nearly out of time. All right, so we talked about the text message. Let's talk a little bit about petrol. Should we talk about petrol?
From one positive thing to another.
I'm telling you. So, we've been told on Sunday we're going to be paying another 15 to 16 cents more. Petrol's going to be up to $2 a litre.
I noticed that price on my way here today.
Yeah, but it's going up. So, this is not looking good. So, anyway, and then to make matters worse, our friend Donald Trump has put an extra tariff on Australia on some of the goods that are exported to America. So we're up to 12.5% tariffs.
Wow.
So and the poor Australian government, all they could say is, that's not very nice. But what else are you going to say? What are you going to complain?
Yeah.
You're going to tell him off? Hardly. He might stick a 20% tariff on you.
Right.
So it matters not whether you're friend or foe of Mr. Trump. Everyone gets some treatment sooner or later that they don't appreciate.
It's all very unpredictable, but God is consistent.
He's very predictable. Praise the Lord for
that. We're going to listen to Sandra Entman now, and she's going to bring to us another very appropriate song for our show, Through It All. No matter what happens in this crazy world, we can trust Jesus that he will carry us through it all.
Many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There've been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials only came to make me strong. Been to lots of places, and I've seen so many faces. There've been times I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know I was his own. Trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I have learned to depend upon his word. And I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. And I'd never know what faith in God can do. Trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I have learned to depend upon his word. Trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I have learned to depend upon his word. I have learned to depend upon.
To Faith FM, positively different radio.
joining us today for the Looking Up program. We are going to give away our code word now.
Yeah, for that very special book.
For the very special book. Answers.
And you go for it.
I can't read that first word.
Answers to Difficult Bible Texts by our friend Joe Cruz, who is awaiting the sound of the trumpet. He was a godly man.
He was.
Loved Jesus, loved the coming of Jesus, loved to prepare people for Jesus. I'm certain I will see him in the kingdom.
Amen. Well, we've got this book that's filled with questions, and the great news, it's also got Bible answers on all kinds of subjects: death, the Sabbath, the law and grace, the rapture, hell, all of these subjects that may be of interest and will be of interest to our listeners and their friends and family. So the code word today is... That was a drum roll in case anyone was wondering.
It's not an earthquake.
Yeah.
LU26 difficult.
All right. LU26 difficult. Text that through to 04-888-17624. And if you do, you will be a recipient of this amazing little resource.
Fantastic. All right. So we were sharing the not-so-good news about the petrol, you know, going up. In connection with that, I just looked at an article that came out on ABC News with the headline, shouldn't surprise us. This is from our treasurer, our federal treasurer, Jim Chalmers, I should say. And the headline was, Australia should brace for war impact to get worse.
Really?
Treasury warns. Well, the war impact.
Right, right.
Yeah, so as this war in the Middle East continues to drag on and on, things are just going to get – remember what I said next year? Next year, if this war – if we're still with this war ongoing in the Middle East –
yes.
Next year, the chickens are going to come home to roost.
Yes.
Okay. So I don't want to be the bearer of doom and gloom, but unfortunately the reality is that, the way the world is, more and more people are coming to the conclusion that we do not have in our political leaders around the world what it takes to get this world back on track. Mm-hmm. So this tells us that people are going to be seeking and searching for a out-of-this-world solution for this cry of peace and safety that will be going up. So we'll talk a little bit about that later because that really fits in. So another sign, and I've titled this actual program, The Eagles Are Gathering. Remember that from Matthew 24:28? I like that title, The Eagles Are Gathering, because Jesus said, you know, where the eagles are, that's where the carcass will be also. Mm-hmm. And in connection with the signs of the times, Matthew 24:28, did you want to read that, my friend?
Sure. Matthew 24:28. Verse 28, the Bible says, for wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together.
Okay, and here, that's immediately following the words of Jesus in connection with his coming, where he says, you know, for as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. The very next words, for wherever the carcass is, okay, when my coming draws near, you will know it, because those signs will be gathering, like the eagles gathering around a carcass in the air. The signs will be all gathering, and they'll be getting thicker and thicker and thicker as we draw nearer to the coming of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that an incredible picture?
Very.
Yeah. So, all right. So when it comes to that, the Labor Party had their, had a bit of a conference, you could call it that, like their sort of annual conference where they, you know, talk policy and politics and how they're going to hopefully, you know, remain in power at the next election. Anyway, one of the items that was discussed and debated was voluntary assisted dying. Okay, that's a hot topic.
It is.
And the headline here, this is from Sunday, was from the ABC News, Anthony Albanese personally opposed to Labor's push on telehealth voluntary assisted dying. So they want to introduce telehealth so that you can talk to someone, or someone can ring up and over the phone they get permission in order to take their life.
I definitely would oppose that too.
That's horrible.
There's so many more factors involved.
Absolutely.
Just a telephone.
That's what I'm saying. So wow. Anthony Albanese, he's opposed to that, even though his party, it appears by and large, are in favour of that. This is where human life has got to, where over a phone call you can determine whether someone is in their right mind to take their life. Okay, they're suffering. Obviously, they're suffering horribly.
That's terrible.
But, yeah, so, that's scary. Well, so anyway, the Prime Minister, thankfully, he's not in favour of it, but we will wait and see what takes place in that space. So they're trying to, you know, those who are in favour of it are saying, well, people who are in rural communities, you know, how are they going to get to a doctor potentially? So they need to be given an opportunity. But that kind of, you know, is open for just abuse and and horrible decisions taking place.
Definitely.
Anyway, so I thought I'd just share that. All right, so let's take a look at, what's been making news around the world. So two major events, obviously the one that we just mentioned earlier, the earthquake in Japan, 7.1 on the Richter scale.
Yeah, what happened?
Well,
is everyone okay?
Well, I just read the news update sort of before coming here, and I think it was confirmed like about 12 people had died.
Terrible.
But there were many more missing, and obviously hundreds would be injured.
Yeah.
So it was very, very shallow. So the more shallow an earthquake,
the more you feel it.
The more you feel it, the greater the damage. And this is Japan.
7.1, you said?
Yeah, 7.1, I think. That's what I read.
That's a big one.
Yeah, that's a big one. And so this is Japan, and Japan is obviously notorious for earthquakes. You know, they had that great earthquake, you know, in 2011, that tsunami and that earthquake. So Japan is used to earthquakes. They have earthquakes all the time, a bit like New Zealand. When I lived in New Zealand, I remember the first time an earthquake took place. I was just sitting on the lounge and my wife was in the kitchen and everything started to shake. And, you know, she came running, you know, all scared and anxious. And I hope I gave her some comfort. I'm not sure. I think I put my arms around her and said, it's going to be okay. But after all, we got used to it. Like earthquakes, we'd be in bed.
Really?
And the bed would start shaking and you get used to it because you have little tremors in New Zealand all the time because it's on that earthquake line, on the fault line.
I've just pulled up a news story here.
What does it say?
This resident says this was the biggest quake they felt in 75 years.
Wow.
She is 75. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she's never experienced such a big quake as what she just experienced.
Wow. So, so that's on the heels of that earthquake in Venezuela at the end of June, you know, where thousands were killed and tens of thousands more left homeless and injured.
I know we've talked about this before, but why do you think Jesus specified earthquakes? Because there's lots of disasters.
There are lots of, and we're going to be talking about the fires in just a moment.
He didn't specify fires.
No, he didn't. He didn't specify fires
or hurricanes.
No, or cyclones, which are Australia's version of a hurricane. Mm-hmm. Tornadoes, floods, you know, there's many. I believe Jesus specified earthquakes because of all the natural disasters, this one, there's no warning.
True.
If you, before a fire, flood,
you can't see it.
It just happens. It just happens. And Jesus, in connection with his coming, he said in Matthew 24, 42 to 44, he said, watch and be ready always. Mm-hmm. Be ready always. So the aim is for us to be ready always. Also, the greatest loss of life and devastation because there is no warning, and it's just so devastating. I mean, buildings collapse, and it's just horrible. And so, there's no warning. There's also an interesting thing because with earthquakes, when they happen in Scripture, you've got, and I shared this when I was in Harvey, there's an eternal impact in that you have individuals giving their hearts to God, like when Jesus died on the cross, there was an earthquake, and the centurion, do you remember what he said? Behold, this was
the Son of God.
The Son of God. While Paul and Silas are in a prison in Philippi, there's an earthquake.
Yeah.
And the jailer
was converted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good point.
And the greatest earthquake in all of human history will happen when Jesus returns. That's what Revelation says. The earth will quake, islands will disappear, whole mountain chains, you know, will sink. And so the greatest earthquake will usher in the coming of Jesus.
Amen. I enjoyed that little Bible study. Thank you.
Yeah. So, well, I went and had a look at earthquakes because I shared this when I was in Harvest. I'm just looking at my information here. This was a 7.1. Do you realize since the year 1900, if you go to the United States Geological Society website that monitors earthquakes, since the year 1900, we have had more than 1,700 7.0 or greater earthquakes.
Wow.
What did Jesus say about those labor pains?
They will intensify.
Absolutely. And in the last 120-odd years, 25, 26 years since 1900, I took a look at the great earthquakes. Because you remember in Luke 21:11, Jesus says there will be great earthquakes in various places? There were 100. 8.0 and greater. Now, do you know the difference between a 7.0 and an 8.0 earthquake?
Must be big.
It's big. Okay. So 7.0, the difference between a 7.0 and an 8.0 is that an 8.0 is double the strength of a 7.0.
Really?
Yep. So that's how it works.
Seven double a six?
Yes, that's right. So 7 is double a 6. 6 is double a 5. A 9 is double an 8.
Have we ever had a 9?
Yeah, we had 5 9.0 or greater in that last 126 years, since the year 1900. They were in 1952, 1960, 1964, 2004, which was that Southeast Asian tsunami and earthquake, and the Japanese earthquake in 2011. So we've had 5. But this is interesting. So I did some stats. So for the first 25 years of the 20th century, so from 1900 to 1925, 21 earthquakes, 8.0 and greater. From 26 to 1950, 18. From 51 to 1975, 21. From 1976 to the year 2000, 13. So we dipped. And then notice from 2001 to 2025, 27. So that's all of a sudden we have really spiked. But praise God, he's holding back the winds of strife. Praise God, he's holding back the winds of strife. Because if we were to have, these are 8.0 and greater, okay? If we were to have a whole bunch of these,
the whole world would be brought to a grinding halt.
It would be, The Middle East crisis would look like a picnic in the park.
Yeah.
So praise God, he's holding back the winds of strife.
Amen.
All right, well, let's talk about the fires. Well, are you aware that there are serious fires? There's a heat wave and there's fires there in Europe.
No, I didn't know that.
Are you serious?
I heard about fires.
You must be pregnant and almost expecting not to know this. Am I close?
Yeah.
I am close. All right. Well, this was like, they've had fires there in Europe. All right. These fires currently are the worst in their history. Well, certainly in recent history. Okay.
Now, why is that? Is it because there's a heat wave?
Heat wave, yes. Extreme heat. Okay. That's been happening in Europe for quite a while. Remember this El Nino?
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be coming to our shores this coming summer, so we'll wait and see. But France and Spain, according to a number of headlines, and in particular one person, I was watching one person who was interviewed, I think they were from France, and they were saying, it looks like Armageddon and the end of the world, but a movie, but it's real. It looks like an Armageddon end of the world movie. What we are seeing, these red flames, and you can see it from space.
Really?
Yeah, satellite imagery shows from space these fires, and it's just incredible. 300,000 people, Sharissa, have had to leave their homes.
Wow.
Did you just hear what I said?
I did.
300,000 people. The president of France, Emmanuel Macron, he said, we have never had this kind of exodus of people leaving their homes since World War II. He's saying this is the biggest crisis in France since World War II.
Every disaster is always the greatest right now. Like, it's like the worst fires, the worst.
It's all unprecedented. Every week we talk about these headlines that they refer to this event or that event as unprecedented. Yeah. So France and Spain. So we need to keep them in prayer. But yeah, things are really, really bad there. And they're expecting more and more. Well, they're expecting still more hot weather on the way.
I just pulled up a news story to double check it.
Okay. Which is wise. That wasn't my wife double checks me all the time. Doesn't trust me.
And they're blaming climate change.
Of course they are. Of course they are. Everybody. And you know what? At the end of time, this is all part of the end time scenario the enemy is using in order to bring the world to a point of crisis where the world will cry out for peace and safety, which he will seek to provide from a spiritual point of view. All right.
Let's listen to Brooks Crossing, God Leads Us Along.
In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children.
Telling you, that was really, we needed that. We needed that.
God leads us along.
Praise the Lord. Praise
the Lord.
Otherwise,
the world would be very overwhelming and very discouraging. Yeah,
indeed.
Well, a reminder for our code word. We've had a taker, but there's plenty of room for plenty more.
Oh, you want to get your hands on this book,
yes,
folk?
Yes.
This is like a real keeper.
Absolutely. Answers to difficult Bible texts by Joe Cruz. If you're interested in obtaining your personal free copy, simply text LU26 difficult to the number 0488817624.
So there you go. Wow. Hey, we were talking about France, and I just during that beautiful song I shared with Charissa, this BBC News headline, France wildfires like a war zone, like a war zone. You know, underneath it, never seen before wildfires closing in on Bordeaux, this town in France, Bordeaux, a large town, a large city, I should say, there in France. And so this tells us we're living in a war zone. We're living in a spiritual warfare war zone.
The Bible talks about that,
yeah.
In the words of the title of the book that we've been reading through, The Great Controversy, speak to that too.
Indeed. So that war that was in heaven that is spoken of by John the Revelator in Revelation chapter 12, that war came down to earth. And so, yeah, at the cross, the Bible says there in Revelation 12, it says, you know, rejoice you heavens and those who dwell in it, for the accuser of the brethren has been cast out. But then it goes on and it says, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down to you with great wrath because he knows he's only got a little time left. Mm. So the enemy from the cross, his time was ticking.
Yeah. Yes.
2,000 years ago, and we know that the closer we get to the end, the more cranky he will get and the more that he will seek to deceive and take people on board with him. Because that's he knows right. he's going down. He's going down into that lake of fire, and he wants to take down as many as he possibly can. So that is why, folk, our only hope, our only security is in Jesus and in his word. That is it. If we're not looking up today, we won't be looking up when Jesus comes. Today is the day to be looking up.
That's right. Even heaven in Revelation 12, verse 12, says that heaven's concerned for the safety of inhabitants of earth.
Absolutely.
The Bible says, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows he has a short time.
Yes, but praise God, I love verse 11. You got to read verse 11 of Revelation 12.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death.
So that's those that remain true and faithful, those that cling to Jesus, those that are continually looking up.
Amen.
They have overcome the enemy, the one whose name is evil with a capital D.
Yes.
You know, they've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, so that's through Christ and his sacrifice, and by their willingness to share, by the word of their testimony. Amen. And so we need to be sharing with people. You know, I shared the story of Tilly Smith when I was there in Harvey. You know the story of Tilly Smith?
Yes.
Yeah, that 11-year-old girl from England. Who learned about tsunamis by, you know, geography class there at school just before she jumped on a plane to go from England to Phuket.
Yeah.
There in Thailand, and she saw the warning signs when that 2004 Boxing Day tsunami was coming through. No one else saw it. She saw it, gave the alarm. 100 people were saved from that beach. Not one person was lost. And I shared with the folk there at Harvey that we need to be like Tilly Smith. We can see the signs. Others can't. We can see the signs. We need to share with people, not to scare people, but to prepare people, just like that alert that we got on our phones this week from the Australian government. We need to share with them, alert, alert, alert. There's a text message. It's found in the Bible. It's the words of Jesus. He's saying, hey, I'm coming back soon. Things are going to get worse before they get better, but don't stress. Don't be anxious. Don't be troubled.
There's hope.
There's hope. Look up. There's hope. I'm about to return. There's hope and help. Amen.
Amen.
Hope on the horizon. I love that title. I use that all the time now. I pinch that off you.
It's all good.
I always land my series with hope on the horizon now.
Amen.
So after you shared, I thought you can't beat that. And that's looking up, isn't it?
It is.
You're looking up. So anyway, so hey, while I was speaking of, you know, the eagles are circling, you know, we looked at Matthew 24:28. You know, the eagles are gathering, they're circling, telling us that Jesus is coming near. On the plane, as I said, I was traveling from Perth to Brisbane this time. They took me to Brisbane. I was catching up with that guy, Samir. He's Indian. Lovely guy. I love Indian people. Indian people are some of my favorite people on the planet.
They make good food.
Indian food is my favorite food. It's my all-time favorite food. I love Indian food. Anyway, I was chatting to him. Lovely guy. They're so polite. They're so respectful, you know. They're just so lovely, you know. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm talking rubbish, he won't offend me by saying so. You know what I mean? He just listens and smiles.
That's good.
Anyway, so we were talking about, you know, 4 hours worth, 4.5 hours, big long flight from Perth to Brisbane. Anyway, we were talking about life and this and that, and we got onto, you know, faith and religion. I asked him, you know, what do you believe in? Do you have any religious faith? And he says, yes, I'm a Hindu. And he was an atheist to begin with, but he says, I've become a Hindu, you know. And I said, why is that? He said, well, I've found purpose and so on and so forth. And we're talking, I was sharing with him about, you know, the Christian faith and the hope that we have. And then we're talking about the end of the world, you know. And I said, in the Hindu faith, in your books of faith that you have, you know, as a Hindu, do you have anything in connection with, you know, I was telling him about Bible prophecy, obviously, you know, sharing with him. And I said, do you have anything that talks about the end of the world and what the end of the world will be like and if there's any hope? And he says, we actually do. And it's called Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga. And I wrote it down. He says, Google it. You'll find plenty of information. And sure enough, I Googled it. And I discovered that, yes, this is the timeline for the Hindu faith. It's a timeline. It goes through different stages, you know, of the, I won't get into the whole how this cycle, in Hindu cosmology and so forth. But anyway, this is basically what it goes through, these four stages, and the fourth and final stage, it says, that we are in currently right now, is the darkest of the four stages. And it's characterized, notice this, it's characterized by moral decline, spiritual ignorance, and materialism. I'm telling you, that's where we are.
Yeah.
So, look, I don't know all the ins and outs and how God works, but it appears from what God has possibly inspired. I'm not saying this is, you know, a God-inspired faith. Don't misunderstand me, but I do believe that God speaks to people in many ways, in many cultures, through many faith traditions in order to reach them. But it's interesting that Hindus believe that we're in that fourth and final stage that will be characterized by moral decline, i.e. the days of Noah and the days of Lot that Jesus spoke of, spiritual ignorance, lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, Matthew 24, verse 12, and materialism, which is the focus of our world today. And what did Jesus say? Yes, the eating and the drinking and the marrying and the buying and the selling and so forth and so on.
We'll all continue on.
Yeah. However, they believe that at the end of this cycle, righteousness will be reestablished and the whole cosmic cycle will start again. But they don't have that hope that we have, that yes, at the end of this cycle, this world is coming to an end. Jesus is going to make a brand new world where there'll be no more sin, suffering, and sorrow. So they don't have that. So there's elements of that. It's a bit like the creation story. Mm-hmm. It's in many different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
The story of the flood. The Chinese, yes. They have a version of the flood, and there's many other cultures and traditions and civilizations that have a flood story. So it's interesting how, people have this knowledge to a degree, but our role as Christian believers is to share with them the full truth, and the full truth can only be found in the Word of God.
Amen.
So I don't know if you've got anything you want to share on that, but I thought that was really, really interesting.
It is very interesting.
And it gave me an opportunity just to share. All right, so let's push on and press on from there. So where do we go now?
How are we going through your list?
We're going through the list. We're going well. How many more sections have we got?
You've got this one and one more.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, no worries. All right. So let's go to the land of the free and the home of the brave. We can't
How can we do a show without that?
I know, it'd be impossible, impossible. So our friend, Prime Minister Netanyahu.
I wondered which friend we were going to.
He's having another meeting with Donald Trump as we speak. Did you know of that?
I did not know that.
I'm not surprised.
Of course I
did. Of course you did.
I haven't known much today.
You didn't know that half of Europe was burning down, as if you're going to know that the Prime Minister of Israel was there. Anyway, so it's interesting, this dynamic that is going there. Now, Donald Trump is in a real hot spot. He's in a real pickle. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In that he's got this war that is going on, and the Israeli prime minister wants him to continue it in order to, you know, really put the boot into Iran. It's also, you know, there's an election coming in Israel. So there's all sorts of political things going on for the Israeli prime minister. He's also got in his back pocket the evangelicals who support Israel because of their prophetic worldview, which Donald Trump has in his inner circle.
Yeah.
And yet Donald Trump is trying to not get blown out of the water at the midterm elections.
Mm-hmm.
And if the war continues and things continue to spiral and the price of petrol goes up in America, so we're looking at an absolute disaster situation for Mr. Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He's like in between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
And he's got nowhere to go.
Well, the situation,
he's floundering.
The situation in Iran is very bad, according to people who have family there. They say,
and your husband's from an Iranian background.
He is, but I was talking with someone who was visiting with some beautiful Iranian people just the other night this week.
As in Iran?
They were here, but
they were here. They've got family in Iran. Yep, yep.
And they said that the regime is still hanging people in the streets.
They just did that the other day.
Yeah.
They literally, people recorded it.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible. Yeah, in the street.
So they're saying, just give us the weapons. We'll handle the regime. Yeah. They need help.
Look, it's very, very sad when there's sin and selfishness, which is prevalent everywhere, like a horrible disease amongst every nation on the planet almost. Pretty much every nation, because you're dealing with sinful human beings, there's going to be pain and suffering and sorrow, because these people are beautiful. The Iranian people are beautiful. I've been there, Sharissa, as you know, and the people are beautiful, you know, and that they just want hope, you know, they just want an opportunity. So we've got to really be praying for them. But yeah, this whole quagmire is really just, yeah, wow. Now, you remember the World Cup? That's come and gone. Yes. You know there was a World Cup.
Yes.
Okay. There was a World Cup.
That much I do know.
Okay. Corruption. World Cup these days equals corruption. Mm. Okay. There is just so much money involved. $7,000 to $10,000 a ticket for the final, like a basic ticket in the, you know, the worst part of the stadium. $7,000 to $10,000 US. And you have, you know, Donald Trump making deals with the FIFA boss to, you know, a whole bunch of corruption, which I'm not going to get into, including the latest bit of corruption, Kushner. Have you heard the name Kushner at all?
Yes.
Yeah? That rings a bell. Yeah, Jared Kushner. Well, Jared Kushner has a brother, right? And his brother has a big business. And his name is Joshua Kushner, and the FIFA president, Gianni Infantino, is planning to create a US $20 billion company to run the World Cup with private investors. And he's planning on handing it over to this guy, Joshua Kushner, who is the brother of Jared Kushner, who is the son-in-law of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Can you see all the corruption? I mean, it's not even subtle anymore. It's like in plain sight. So this tells us that we're getting to the end. And you know what's interesting? Guess what the antediluvian world is described as? Three times the predominant word describing the people of Noah's day in Genesis 6 is the word corrupt. Corrupt, corrupt, corrupt. And guess what? The same Hebrew word for corrupt is the same word for destroy. Three times it's used, three times corrupt, three times destroy. This is where we are, my friend.
That's
Jesus is coming soon.
Interesting. Praise the Lord, he is.
Hallelujah,
this
hallelujah.
The world is corrupt. Let's listen to Joe Pearl's After the Rain. This is a good song, this one. And then I think you've got a few more on your list. A
few more, and then we're getting into the GC.
Okay, great. Stay with us.
When the twilight fades into purple shades, and I'm deep in blue, all the long night through, when the storm clouds hide the rainbow of God's love, it's then I hear his voice speaking gently from above into every life. A little rain must so look up, my child, dry your eyes and smile. Though the nights are long,
though the nights are long,
Jesus gives a song,
Jesus gives a song.
Joy replaces pain. After all the rain,
after all
go by. There'll be times I'll cry, but through the clouds of bliss, I can see his smiling face. Into every life, a little rain must fall. So look up, my child, dry your eyes and smile. Though the nights are long, Jesus gives a song.
Jesus gives a song.
Joy replaces pain after all the rain. Joy replaces pain after all.
Joe Pearl's voice there.
Isn't that just beautiful?
Very calming.
Wow.
After all the rain, there is joy.
Wow. Absolutely. And isn't that just so fitting? After all the storms and all the rain and all the drama, all the chaos and the confusion, when Christ comes, he will usher in a new world where there will be everlasting peace, joy and happiness. True
Amen.
Peace that can be brought about only by the Prince of Peace, Jesus himself.
Amen, amen. Well, a reminder about the code word for
Amen.
Our listeners. It's LU26 difficult. Text it through to 0488817624. For
Amen.
That beautiful book resource on answering Bible questions, the hard ones, the difficult ones. The answers come straight from God's word, though. So, yeah, definitely encourage everyone. LU26 difficult, 0488817624.
Amen. Amen. Now, Sharissa, I need your help, my friend.
Really?
I got a card, as you know, from our friend Sophia.
Yes.
Who works here at the North New South Wales Conference Office. She's a lovely young lady. I understand she comes to your church, doesn't she?
She did. And she actually preached on Sabbath.
She preached on Sabbath. No way, Jose.
First sermon.
I was going to say.
She just got back from the Solomons.
Yes.
We need to have her here on the show.
We do need to have her on the show.
But yeah, it was powerful.
When I'm away, because I'm going to be away in
Good idea.
Next week, and then I'm going to be in Fiji for a couple of weeks.
I'll have to talk to her.
So you're in charge. You're in charge. Now, she gave me a card because I don't know what this card's sealed. Mm-hmm. It's got this special Sophia seal on the back, like in Bible times. So
yeah.
Anyway, she gave me this card, and I'm going to need your help because you obviously know her.
Mm-hmm.
She comes to your church. Now, I just looked at this now.
Sophie.
And is it Sophie? Sorry,
yes.
Did I call her Sophia?
Yes.
Oh, her friend is Sophia.
Yes.
Sophie, yes. Sophie, Sophia. Okay.
I do that too.
Yeah.
I have to think before I say
Sophie. All right. So she's given me a card. She's written Pastor Danny.
Uh-huh.
But then she has an instrument attached to Pastor Danny. Can you see that?
Looks like a trumpet.
And Pastor. Now, what do you think she's trying to say by that? That I'm loud like a trumpet.
maybe
that I'm proclaiming the good news that the trumpet is soon to sound.
Yeah,
maybe that.
Yeah, celebration.
Celebration. Or just you're loud, Pastor Danny. I think that might
we
be.
We do know when you're coming into the office every week.
I love it. That's just so cool, isn't it? She's hit the nail on the head. Oh mate, I'm gonna have to send this, and my sister's still listening. She will love it. She will love it. I'll have to send her this photo. This is a keeper. I've never had anyone describe me with a trumpet. There you go. Well, there you go.
Ladies' day, Sophie.
Oh, mate, Sophie, you have made my day. If only you knew. All right. So we've only got this last segment, and then we're into our Bible study for 20 minutes after that to end our show. So we are looking at this world and how our world is rapidly coming to the end, and Jesus is soon to come. The eagles are gathering. Okay, the eagles are going, whether it be economically, we've looked at economics, we've looked at socially, we've looked at politically, we've looked at environmentally already, haven't we? We've looked at all these things, okay? They're all converging. Now
the
eagles are gathering. Now let's go to the religious element.
All right.
Okay. So I got this article from someone, I don't know who it was. Anyway, this is from the United States, and it was in connection with this Christian church. I won't mention the Christian church. They're in Ohio, and they were celebrating communion, this LGBTIQ church, or certainly affirming church, was celebrating communion with rainbow-colored bread. The headline was, gay communion bread. Church turns their communion host rainbow colored to celebrate Pride Month. There you go. Or to celebrate Pride.
Wow.
So this tells us that this is in the church, a Christian church.
Wow.
Okay. And we know that is kind of normalized today. Okay. People don't think much of that. But if you were to tell someone, and we love all people, you know, this is not anything, we may have someone from the LGBTIQ plus community listening, or you may have family or friends and so on and so forth. Praise the Lord for that, you know.
Yes.
The Lord loves all. The Lord welcomes all into his embrace.
Yes.
Jesus came and he died for all. We're all sinners. Every single person is a sinner. We're only saved by grace, and all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. That's what the Bible says. But Charissa, the church is God's church given the scriptures, and we seek to live our lives. We seek to encourage people in line with the scriptures. And when in a Christian church, I don't care what denomination it is, when in a Christian church we are promoting and encouraging that which God calls an abomination,
right,
anything that is outside of his will and his plan for humanity, then we've come to the end of the road.
Mm-hmm.
We've come to the end of the road. And someone once said, well, no, it wasn't someone once said, it was Billy Graham, the famous, you know, American evangelist Billy Graham. He said that if Jesus doesn't come soon,
he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
He'll have to resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and have to apologize to them.
Mm.
And this is where we are. This wasn't even happening in Billy Graham's day. So, yeah. So this tells us that there is a real polarization taking place even in the Christian community now. Mm. Have you noticed? There is more and more division even within churches and Christian communities, and especially with social media and podcasters left, right, and center.
Mm-hmm.
There is more and more division, more and more polarization that is taking place like we've never seen before in a public way,
mm-hmm.
like dirty laundry is being, you know, shared here, there, and everywhere in connection with, you know, what's going on in churches and what's not and so on and so forth. So
the love of many will grow cold, Jesus says, because lawlessness will abound.
Matthew 24, verse 12. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of what's happening in the religious space, we know from Scripture that there's going to be a growing call for governments to embrace a religious worldview in order to bring about this much-needed peace and safety.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we know, and we've talked about Sunday, which will be the mark of the beast at the end of time when it's enforced. Okay, so it's not enforced right now, so it's not the mark of the beast, but when the United States of America, through its legislative body, enforces Sunday as the day that will be rolled out for peace and safety, for family, for you name it, for the environment, for workers' rights, for, you know, fill in the blanks, when church and state unite, then we will know that, you know, we're on the borders of the land of Canaan. And so we're seeing this agitation that we talked about, you know, that we talk about everywhere. So let me give you a couple of, I sent this one to you, and this is interesting because it connects the unions with Sunday, Okay.
Okay.
Okay. This is from Greece.
Yes.
Okay.
Glad you went there.
Yeah. So July 20, 2026, and the headline was, this is from the European Regional Office, World Federation of Trade Unions. Okay. So they're the ones that have put this out, the actual union movement. Militant nationwide strike by commerce workers in Greece on July 19th for the right to Sunday rest and a sectorial collective agreement. It goes on here. It says thousands of commerce workers across Greece sent a strong and militant strike message on Sunday, 19th of July, 2026, demanding the protection of Sunday as a day of rest and the signing of a sectorial collective bargaining agreement. The nationwide strike called by the Federation of Private Employees of Greece was marked by strike rallies, demonstrations and interventions outside shops, supermarkets and shopping centres.
Yeah.
So what did you think? And I mean, this...
Well, this is amazing. I have a friend on social media who put up a video of them marching in Greece.
Wow.
And they've all got their placards. There's lots of people in the march.
I can show you. And this was happening all in many, like Crete, Epirus, Thessaly, central Greece, and a whole bunch of Greek islands.
Yeah, and the English...
18 cities.
Wow. Wow. The English translation of their chant that they're chanting as they go down the streets is, "We are workers, not machines.
Yes.
Protect, guarantee Sunday as a day of rest. Sign a collective bargaining agreement in the retail sector with wage increases. 7-hour workday, 5-day work week, 35-hour work week." That's what they want. Interesting,
eh? We are workers, not machines.
We are workers, not machines.
Didn't someone put out
an... Protect Sunday as a day of rest.
Didn't someone put out an encyclical back in the 1890s, like 1891, I think it was, or somewhere there, called Rerum Novarum, which was all about workers' rights.
I think someone took on the name of that someone.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
Wasn't that name Leo or something like that?
Yeah.
And didn't he, in his very first encyclical, our recent, most recent Leo, Pope Leo... There we go.
That's the footage.
Wow. So you know what's the significant about this, folk, is that the unions, according to Ellen White, the author of The Great Controversy, she says the unions will be at the forefront of encouraging Sunday observance, of encouraging Sunday to be this day for workers' rights and their families, you know, that what's more important? The retail corporations having more and more money in their back pockets, more and more billions, or families staying together.
Mm-hmm. And as the fabric of society is getting more and more fragile,
there's going to be a greater push.
Being felt.
The greater push for Sunday, for a day for the planet, for people and for planet.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing this happening more and more and more. So, yeah.
I think now's the time we really need to be helping people see what the Bible says, because this is a special window of opportunity that
Absolutely.
We have to speak freely.
Absolutely. All right, here we go. Now let's go to Germany. All right.
What's going on in Germany?
July 8th. I failed to share this one a couple of weeks ago. In Germany, this was from a newspaper there in Germany, and the headline was, "Sunday must be a day of rest for families."
Wow.
The Social Center Wing of the South Tyrol People's Party strongly advocates maintaining Sunday trading restrictions. And it goes on and talks about this. And so it goes on and they say, this result is a clear societal mandate. Sunday must not become just another work day. It is a day for family, recreation, volunteering, and community, said the chairwoman of this particular, once again, union. Sorry. This one's a political party.
Mm-hmm.
So you got the political parties with the unions all coming together. Hello, Charissa.
Yeah.
It's all happening.
Yeah.
And speaking of a time to do volunteer community work, this just came my way. I thought this was fake news. I really did think this was fake news, but it's not. This is from, where is it? From Uganda.
Yes,
all right.
I have that here too.
Have you got that there? Do you want to tell us about that?
Well, the government issued a national days for cleaning, and they called for it on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was getting prayer requests. I'm part of some prayer chats, and people saying, let's pray for the church to have the freedom to still worship on the Sabbath. And I don't know if you saw the latest there, but 2 days ago, the Secretary General of Uganda's ruling National Resistance Movement, after consultations with the Office of the Prime Minister, has assured the Seventh-day Adventist community in these words, following consultations with the Office of the Prime Minister regarding the Cabinet Circular No. 1 of 2026 on National Cleaning Days, I wish to inform our Seventh-day Adventist brothers and sisters that they may proceed to worship tomorrow, Saturday 25th of July, without hindrance. So we should pray, you know, in these times.
We need to pray for religious freedom.
God answered their prayers.
He did answer their prayer because as far as the government of Uganda was concerned, it declared that the last Saturday of every month, so this wasn't just July, because this wasn't a one-off, the last Saturday of every month would be a mandatory national cleaning day. And police have vowed to strictly enforce the new government exercise, saying force will be used where necessary against those who defy. Can you imagine that happening in Australia, where the Australian Prime Minister and the Australian government says every last Saturday or Sunday or whatever day of the month is going to be clean up day, clean up Australia day. Could you imagine that? No, we can't, because we pay people to do that, don't we? But obviously they don't have the money to do that. So anyway, the point here is, Sharissa, we are moving in that direction where Sunday agitation is happening more and more. So there's a lot more to share, but we're going to park it there for this week.
Very good. Well, let's listen to Renew Worship. Bring to us a song, When God Ran. It's a song based on the story of the prodigal son.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then.
Come home again, lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes.
song there, When God Ran, and we're just going to hear the station ID.
You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Could now just merge the song and the program intro. God runs to us. If we will look up, we will see him running. I really enjoy that song, When God Ran, because it's, you know, that story of the prodigal son coming home to the father. That father is the picture of God running to us. Mm. Yeah.
I was reading that story this morning.
Were you really?
Jasna and I in that little sharing book of the year for this year. What's it called? Hope.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember now. But yeah, in the chapter there, we're reading about the prodigal son.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so well, it's a beautiful story. Oh, absolutely.
Well, this brings us to our Great Controversy, chapter 15, continual reflection. If anyone out there doesn't have a copy of The Great Controversy, you would want one because it's a good book to mark up, a good book to underline and really take in slowly. So simply text the letters GC to this number, 0488-1764. If you haven't got one or you know someone who needs one, please do that. We'd love to supply you with one.
Amen.
I am looking forward to this, but I have realized that I've left my physical copy at home. But that's okay because the book is available online.
Praise the Lord. And it's available in audio form as well.
It's available everywhere.
In any which way.
So, yeah, let's get right into it.
All right. So, remember last week we were looking at, and I think we kind of ended up where the French Revolution was taking place.
That's right. We hadn't quite got to the Bartholomew's.
St. Bartholomew's Massacre. We were just about to head down that road, yeah.
But should we recap very quickly?
I think so, yeah.
So basically this chapter shows us what happens when people reject God's word. Mm. When you suppress the Bible and get rid of it, then this is what it leads to.
So the Church of Rome, they suppress the Bible.
Correct.
They're in France.
Yeah. Mm. In fact, the Bible foretold this whole thing that happens in France. And the book, The Great Controversy, highlights those prophetic insights for us as well from Revelation, talking about the witnesses. This is Revelation chapter 11, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
And there's the witnesses that prophesy in sackcloth. Mm. Well, who are they? We told last week.
That's the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Old and New Testaments. Then they were prophesying in sackcloth for a period of time. 42 months, which we also identified as a prophetic period.
From 538 to 1798.
Mm-hmm. And that was during the time of papal authority history.
That's right.
And the Bible warns against anyone who would try to change God's word or diminish its authority that there would be consequences. And so then the rise of atheism in France is foretold as well.
This was the pendulum swing, yeah, which is what happens when we go to extremes. Mm-hmm. And so you seek to throw out God, throw out the Bible. The problem was church and state were united and people saw that and they had enough of that, and that is why the French Revolution took place.
So it was a reaction.
It was a reaction to the church and the state being in bed together and bringing about not only persecution, but bringing about poverty. Mm. Like Paris was a poorhouse. The jails were filled.
Mm-hmm.
It was a horrible place to be during that French Revolution in particular.
Right.
And that's what happens when you go to the other extreme, where we don't want God, we don't need God. We experience that. So we are living in the aftermath of the French Revolution. That's what our society is today. But there is a final pendulum swing going the other way.
Right. And they replaced God with
the God of reason.
The goddess of reason.
Goddess of reason, yeah. Wow.
Which they personified, she says, by a profligate, how do you say that, profligate woman?
Yeah, something like that.
So anyway, that's not a good word.
She was a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, their god of reason was a prostitute, and they put her up on the pedestal to worship her.
Mm.
And they even brought her, if I remember correctly, I think it's in the book, in that famous church there, what's it called, that church that burnt in Paris, that famous church. Oh, I can't remember it now. The
one that burnt.
Yeah, well, the part of it burnt, yeah, and it was I can't remember. Anyway, I'll remember it eventually. It's a famous church, one of the most famous churches on the planet. Anyway, so they set up idolatry there in that church.
Wow. Well, this is what they do, and this kind of, I think, brings us right to the time of St. Bartholomew's Massacre, is that right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's where we stopped last week.
Yeah,
I'm
we did.
Sure.
Yeah, we did.
Okay. So let's go from there then. Do you want to start?
Well, it was a horrible time in that at one particular point in time there you have, and by the way, the Huguenots, our friend Eugene. Did I tell you that he's from a Huguenot descent?
No,
they fled eventually. You know, they settled in. They were persecuted there in France, and eventually they settled there in South Africa. Mm-hmm. Many of them, and Eugene is from the Huguenot background. Anyway, so in connection with the Saint Bartholomew's massacre, you have at a certain time. The king allowed and enabled a massacre of Christians, followers of Jesus. You know, these were those who did not go along with the church and with what the church taught and practiced and so forth. They were the reformers, okay? So thousands of them, I don't know how many thousands, if you've got there the number, but how many thousands were murdered? I'm not sure. It was, It was in their thousands. I know that.
What I have here is that it was the blackest in the black catalogue of crime, she says. Most horrible among the fiendish deeds of all the dreadful centuries was the St. Bartholomew Massacre. The world still recalls with shuddering horror the scenes of that most cowardly and cruel onslaught.
Yeah, the blackest in the black catalogue of crime. Is that what you just shared?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Incredible. Dreadful. It was absolutely dreadful. So, for 7 days, it says here, the massacre was continued in Paris. Neither age nor sex was respected. Throughout France, the butchery continued for 2 months.
There you have the number.
70,000 of the very flower of the nation perished.
70,000.
And this is really, really tragic. The most tragic sentence I'm about to read.
Mm-hmm.
This is from a historian who writes, when the news of the massacre reached Rome, the exultation among the clergy knew no bounds.
Wow.
That is horrid.
How can you love God and celebrate this?
Massacre.
Yeah.
This was a massacre. 70,000 people were massacred.
Mm.
And it was probably more. But that's what we have recorded in history.
It
and
says,
notice,
you go.
You go. I was going to say, well.
The next line?
Well, yeah.
They even rewarded the messenger with 1,000 crowns.
Yeah.
And bells chimed. And a medal was struck to commemorate the massacre in the Vatican, which may still be seen in 3 frescoes there. And gifts were given. Is that also there?
Yeah.
Too?
Yeah.
Can't see the gifts part.
Look, it's hard to stomach this. And a French priest, according to a historian, a French speaker who spoke of that day so full of happiness and joy when the Most Holy Father received the news and went in solemn state to render thanks to God and Saint Louis.
Mm.
Saint Louis, you know. This reminds me of the words, I think it was the words of Jesus. Yeah, it's the words of Jesus where he shared that those who kill you will think they're doing God a favor. Mm. You remember that?
Yeah.
You know? So celebrating, okay, we're getting rid of heretics. It's okay. It's okay to do this. And so this is absolutely hard. And this just shows you how, regardless of whether you claim to be religious or not, like I said, just because you sleep in the garage doesn't make you a car. Regardless of what label you place on yourself, mm-hmm. it's your fruit. The Bible says, by their fruits you will know them, the right. character. And so we can see how depraved the church of that time had become mm-hmm. when they are celebrating the massacre of innocents, both young and old.
Yeah.
And they're commemorating it by, you know, giving rewards and a medal and celebrating it with joy. This is satanic. There's no other way to describe definitely. It, Sharissa. I wish I could use another word, but I can't. This is satanic because Satan is the one who has great joy and celebrates the suffering of humanity. He's the one that celebrates, not God. God weeps.
Mm-hmm.
God weeps when he sees, you know, the suffering that is inflicted upon humanity.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Well, she goes on and talks even more about what happens in France after this. Bibles were collected and publicly burned with every possible manifestation of scorn. The law of God was trampled underfoot. The institutions of the Bible were abolished.
Mm.
The weekly rest day was set aside, and in its stead every 10th day, so you had a 10-day week, was devoted to reveling and blasphemy. Baptism and communion were prohibited, and announcements posted conspicuously all over burial places declared death to be an eternal sleep.
Mm. So this is this king of the south.
Right.
Okay, Egypt. Remember the king of the south reminds us of Egypt. You know, mm-hmm. Egypt was in the south.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Pharaoh said, who is this God that I should fear him? And this was the French Revolution. You know, mm-hmm. who is God? We don't need him. And so, yeah, France became the infidel. This first of infidel nations, unlike any other that's described there in Revelation chapter 11. And so, you know, it's this goddess of reason and how then the church, I don't know if we're going to get to it right now or you're going to deal with it later, but how the church and the government both ended up in the same place under the guillotine.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what happens. You know, the enemy uses you.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy is the ultimate evil. He uses people to do his bidding, and then he takes them out as well. He doesn't call anyone his friend. He takes them out as well. And that's what he did with the king and with the priests. They all went the same way.
Yeah.
Under the guillotine. So those that were working together, being used by the enemy to persecute God's people, ultimately would be persecuted. You know what? That reminds me of Revelation 13.
Yeah.
So, Revelation 13. Okay. I've just thought about that. Verse 10. Revelation 13, verse 10. Speaking of the Roman papacy. And that's literally speaking of this event that took place in 1798.
I've got a quote.
Go for it.
He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints.
So there you go. So this is speaking of that deadly wound that was inflicted on the Roman papacy in 1798, which was inflicted by who?
Napoleon's general.
France, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
France.
True, yes.
France inflicted the deadly wound upon the United States through Napoleon.
Upon the Catholic.
Yeah.
Upon the Pope.
Upon the Pope, yeah. But this is the deadly wound.
You said the United States.
Oh, sorry, did I? Okay. I need to get out of there. The U.S. appears in the next verse, in verse 11
right.
of Revelation 30. But, yeah, so this took place and, yeah, in fulfillment of Bible prophecy.
Now I see that we kind of, then the book goes on and talks about the goddess of reason next. I thought we had already covered that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have.
But goes back to it. And then there's this quote, which I think is really interesting. I think it's on page 276. I don't know if it's the same. It says, it was popery that had begun the work which atheism was completing. Mm. The policy of Rome had wrought out those conditions, social, political, and religious, that were hurrying France on to ruin.
Mm.
Writers, in referring to the horrors of the revolution, say that these excesses are to be charged upon the throne and the church. In strict justice, they are to be charged upon the church. Popery had poisoned the minds of kings against the Reformation as an enemy to the crown, an element of discord that would be fatal to the peace and harmony of the nation. It was the genius of Rome that by this means inspired the direst rather cruelty and most galling oppression which proceeded from the throne.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is what happens when true Christianity goes out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. And here's another one. This
maybe have to tell us after this.
Oh, we will. We will. Oh, we've got some more time.
Okay. Marlita Fong, my sister, is going to bring to us Precious Lord, Take My Hand, and then we'll continue with this. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I'm weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious love. gets there and a prayer in song, Precious Lord, Take My Hand, Lead Me Home. That was Marley Tafong, and that brings us to the end of our live broadcast today of the Looking Up show. But there's just a couple of things we'd like to highlight in the chapter before the program ends. Danny, would you like to take us to those points?
Sure. Okay. So towards the end of the chapter, we have a really sober analysis of what happens when we turn our backs on God continually, either as individuals or as a nation or as a world. And it says here, the restraining spirit of God, which imposes a check upon the cruel power of Satan, was in a great measure removed. And he whose only delight is the wretchedness of men was permitted to work his will, which we talked about earlier. Those who had chosen the service of rebellion were left to reap its fruits until the land was filled with crimes too horrible for pen to trace. From devastated provinces and ruined cities, a terrible cry was heard, a cry of bitterest anguish. France was shaken as if by an earthquake.
Ooh, we talked about that today.
We did, and that's in Revelation 11, which we're going to get to in just a moment. It says, religion, laws, the social order, the family, the state, and the church, all were smitten down by the impious hand that had been lifted against the law of God. Okay, don't have time to unpack that, but this is where things are heading as well. Okay, this is a lesson for us and where things are going. When God's law goes out the window and God's word goes out the window, when church and state unite, this is the end result. Okay? Then it goes on and it talks about what happened next. Okay? Now in Revelation 11, there you have these two witnesses. Okay? They are killed.
Yes.
Okay? The Old and the New Testament. Okay? And they lie in the streets dead for 3.5 days, which is this 3.5 year period. Okay? During this reign of terror. But then it's, and the people are rejoicing. They're making merry. They're sending gifts to one another because these two prophets that tormented them
are out of the way.
All right. But then if you could read for me from verse 11 to verse 13 of Revelation 11, and I'll give a little bit of analysis of that because the earthquake appears in verse 30. So Revelation 11 verses 11 to 13.
Now after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them and they stood on their feet and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud and their enemies saw them. In the same hour there was a great earthquake and the tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven.
Okay, all right. Don't have time to unpack everything here. But the bottom line is this, Charissa, that at the end of this time of burning Christians, burning the Bibles. Bible, this reign of terror, what was the end result? Well, in 1804, the British and Foreign Bible Society was organized, okay? And in 1816, the American Bible Society was founded. And so you have at the conclusion of this time, God's word springboarding, creating an earthquake more so than ever before.
Wow.
Because now it is going like wildfire, just as God had predicted in the book of Revelation. We've got this earthquake and it's the formation of the Bible Society, the formation of the American Bible Society, the British and Foreign Bible Society, as I pointed out. This is all happening only a few years after this.
Amazing.
And after the deadly wound was inflicted on the Roman papacy in 1798, 6 years later, the British and Foreign Bible is sharing the word of God. So the word of God that was to be suppressed, these poor witnesses, which is the word of God, these two witnesses, the word of God, that was to remain dead and buried forever, now is more powerful than ever before.
Didn't the French infidel Voltaire predict that within 100 years the Bible, that you know, the church would be gone and the Bible would be found only in a museum? And today his house is used as a printing place.
I heard that. Indeed. And here is a powerful, I'm going to finish off with, I haven't got a long time, so we're about to pray. But here is from Isaiah 54:17.
Yes.
No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. The word of our God shall stand forever.
Hallelujah.
And all his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever.
Amen.
Psalm 111 and Isaiah 40. Wow.
Powerful. And even that last line.
Do you want to read it?
She says, whatever is built upon the authority of man will be overthrown, but that which is founded upon the rock of God's immutable word shall stand forever.
Amen, amen. What a way to finish. Amen. What a way to finish. And now you're going to sign us off in prayer.
Yes. Father in heaven, thank you for the Bible. Thank you that we have the opportunity to access it and to read it and Amen. To study it. Help us not to give up this amazing privilege and opportunity. Pray for our listeners, Lord. May you bless them as they dig into your word, and may they find their faith built on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. Thank you so much for blessing our time today, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that brings us to the end of this broadcast. Next week, you're away.
And Sharissa's got something very special.
I'm going to surprise you all, so just be here.
And I'll be listening. I'll be listening.
And we look forward to your company same time, same place next week. Until then, remember that regret looks back, fear looks around, but faith is always different. Faith looks up, so keep looking up, and may God bless you all.
Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up should the tears begin to start. With a prayer all your cares he will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.
Open my lips, I will sing your praise. Open my lips, O Lord, I will sing your praise forever. A broken spirit and a